堂听 class.com。
That means outside of studying, what kind of activities do you have? You might be an outstanding football player or basketball player, and perhaps the school is recruiting people for just those positions. You might have more options than you realize, or you may be a very talented violinist. That might be something that would work in your favor. There's always something that you can add to your application to make you look different and outstanding from the others. This is what most universities and colleges look for. It's some outstanding quality that can be cultivated that will bring credit to the school. That will bring them recognition as well. That's why you wanted to go to that particular school to begin with, right? All right, so we've talked about scores, location, programs, cost. There's one other area you need to think about, and that's housing. You can have everything perfect in all the other categories I've mentioned, but if housing is a problem, then you've got a really big headache on your hands. Location, it's in a good city. Programs, it's the ideal program. Cost, you can meet the cost, and you fall into the category in terms of score. Housing, they have no housing for you. There are no dorms, or perhaps the dorms are full. What options do you have? Well, you could go to a sorority or a fraternity if you're a boy. Sororities are for girls and fraternities are for boys, and they offer housing. And they also offer a social life. Okay, that's one way to do it. Another way is to look for an apartment on your own. Of course, it's not easy to find a place on your own, but it's something that you would have to consider when applying or selecting a school. All right. I've talked a great deal about what you need to do and what you shouldn't do, and maybe what's a good idea. I'm going to talk a little bit for a few minutes about what I went through when I applied for school. Well, when I was a junior in high school, I was already thinking about where I wanted to go to school and what I wanted to study, what I wanted to major in, and all these different things that people who are juniors and seniors in high school think about. And I had great ambitions and dreams as to what I wanted to accomplish. And that was all well and good, but I didn't have any direction at that time. But I was very fortunate, because the school that I went to had a counselor, a college counselor, that would sit down with me, who did sit down with me and said, "Well, let's take a look at your academic record. Talk about what kind of goals and aspirations I had, where I wanted to go to school, and what I hoped to accomplish." And after talking to the college counselor, I thought about the different schools that I wanted to go to, and I applied to a few of them. In addition to a college counselor, I talked to friends to see what they wanted to do, and where they wanted to go, what they hoped to accomplish. I also talked to the college recruiters. What are the college recruiters? Well, the college recruiters were people that the colleges and universities sent out to the different high schools around the nation to introduce and to promote their schools. All right, so you would go to a college promotion in which they would talk about their school and their programs and the different things that they have to offer and try to attract you to come to study at their school. So, with a combination of friends and family telling me what they were planning to do, and my family telling me what they hoped I would choose, along with the college counselor who guided me and the promotion people from the colleges introducing the colleges and universities themselves, I was able to narrow down the number of schools that I wanted to apply to. And I had a pretty good idea of where I wanted to go. After considering all factors, I decided, well, I really want to stay in my hometown, at least for the first couple of years. Primarily because I felt it was probably something I would want to do later on. I wasn't really anxious to leave my hometown at that particular stage. I felt my family needed me, and I felt very comfortable at home. I wasn't ready to leave home just yet. In contrast, many of my classmates were more than anxious to get out of our hometown. So, it was interesting because even though we were all the same age, and we had the same educational background, and very similar family backgrounds, we all reacted very differently. Many of them went to the West Coast. Many of them went to the East Coast. Some of them even chose not to go to school at all. But I stayed in my hometown, and I went to school for 2 years there, and it was an interesting experience for me. So, being a resident university student, there were options that were available to me then if I had gone away initially. As a resident, I was allowed to pay a lower tuition fee because I was a resident and had been paying taxes. As an out-of-state student, I would have had to pay more. This is usually true with state schools, not private schools. State schools do work in favor of those residing in that state. People who live in that state have first advantage. Okay, so if I lived in California, for example, and I wanted to go to UC Berkeley or UCLA or one of the UC schools, then I would have a better chance of getting in than someone who is coming from, say, Alaska. All right, and that's only if we have the same grade point average, same test scores and everything. But if everything else were equal, and I were a resident and he was not, then I would be chosen first. This is the advantage of being a resident. That's probably one reason why I chose my state school. Another reason was because I really felt that going away so soon was rather unfair to my parents. They had spent a great deal of time raising me and educating me, and I felt that now that I was a little bit older, this was my chance to pay them back a little bit, to spend a little bit of time with them, to tell them that, yeah, I don't mind spending a bit of my adult life. As a matter of fact, it's a pleasure and a joy to be able to return something to them. Okay, that was my experience. I did go away for school later on, and I did enjoy it. It was quite a challenge, and it was a good change for me. But, all in all, I would have to say that the really true challenge that made me happy was not studying in the U.S., but coming to Taiwan. Being in a totally different culture, that was what I really enjoyed. Okay, that's a little bit about me. Now I'm going to get back into, and maybe talk about, registration next time. Registration's a little more difficult and something that takes a little more time than we have right now. So I'm going to wrap it up, but I hope to be back here talking to you. And if you have any questions, I hope that I'll be able to answer them in my monologue next time. Number 17. Once inside the university. Well, I'm back again, and now, as I mentioned before, I'm going to talk a little bit about registration. Okay, this is assuming that you have selected a school, you've applied to a school, and you've been accepted. Congratulations, I know that feeling. I was ecstatic when I received the letter telling me that I had been accepted to a school of my choice, too. Okay, registration. It's not as easy as registering just to go swimming or to learn how to drive. There's a lot more involved than one realizes if you've never registered before. Okay, when you register for school, there are a number of things you have to look at, depending on which school you go to. Different schools have different systems. Some of them work on a quarter system, others on a trimester, meaning there are three semesters or three terms in a year, and those that run on a semester system. Okay, what does that really break down to? Well, a quarter, as you know, is one-fourth. So an academic year is split into four quarters. A trimester is split into three sections, and a semester is broken into two. Now, why is that important? It's important that you know this, because this will affect the number of credits and how credits are calculated. All right, what are credits? Credits are what you earn. Okay, credit hours, as they're sometimes called, determine when you can graduate and in what areas of study you need your credits. For example, as a biology major, you need to have credits in chemistry, basic chemistry, general chemistry, organic chemistry. You also need to have credits in physics. You also need to have credits in other areas like microbiology. But you also need credit in, say, calculus. Okay, these are all different courses. And the number of credits that you are required, credit hours, determines whether or not you fulfilled that requirement towards your major. Okay, credits are determined. Credit hours are determined by the number of hours that it meets each week. Okay, Monday through Friday. If it's a 3-credit course, for example, it means that it meets for 3 hours each week. Okay, that could be 1 hour, 1 hour, 1 hour, 3 times a week, or an hour each time, or it could be 3 hours all at once, depending on the course. There are other courses, such as labs. They may have only 1 credit to them, but require 3 hours of your time because they're a lab. They're not what we consider a lecture type of class. So, credits are important. If you have not fulfilled all the credit requirements, you can't graduate. So it's very important in the beginning to find out what your major is. If you've already determined your major, to figure out what credits you need to fulfill in order to fulfill your major requirements, and how many credits you need in order to graduate. Now, credits are one thing. All right, we know about credit hour. We know about courses. And we also need to know about subjects. When I say subjects, I really mean departments, the different departments that offer courses that will give you the basis of your education. Well, there's the history department, the agricultural department, the biology department, the English department. I could go on and on and on all day about the different departments in a given university. But that wouldn't be very helpful to you. So what I'm going to really talk about are courses in a particular department, like, say, history. Everyone that goes to university is required to take history, and you are required to take a basic history, a world history, world civilization, or something of that nature in most schools. Now, what does that mean? That's a basic course, and so we often say it's a 100-level course. It's a freshman course. All right, many times the numbers will designate what level the course is. For example, if a course is in the 100 level, it's a freshman course, 200 sophomore, 300 junior, and 400 is a senior-level course. Depending on the school, they'll have different ways of grading the courses. All right. So if you're taking a 100-level course, chances are there are not going to be any prerequisites that you need before taking the course, because it's a basic course. But there are prerequisites for some 100-level courses. What's a prerequisite? A prerequisite means that you are required certain courses or certain kind of background in order to take the courses. Well, what does that mean? All right, here's an example. I want to take History 152, World Civilization, from the 1500s to the present day. All right, I find out I cannot take it. It's a 100-level course. I'm a freshman. Why can't I take it? Why? Because the prerequisite is 151, which is history from the beginning of time up until that period. So I have to take that course first before I can take 152. That's something you have to be careful of also. Courses which require prerequisites. Prerequisites are only given during certain semesters. Sometimes they are offered in sequence. For example, the first part of the course may be offered during the fall, and the second part may be offered during the spring. Now, if you start in the spring semester thinking that you'll be able to take the first part, it may not be available. So what happens? You lose that 1 year, and you have to take it the next year. So that kind of is something that you have to worry about when you register for courses. To be aware, to try and get your basic courses, things that will be prerequisites for courses to come. That's something you have to be careful about in your planning. Okay, so you've got your 100, 200, 300, and 400 level courses. I've talked about prerequisites and credits. I've talked about quarter, trimester, and semester. And there's something else that I wanted to mention about credits. Credits are really important, not only towards your diploma and towards your degree, they're also important if you choose at some point to transfer. If you transfer schools, for example, you want to make sure that most of your credits will transfer, because different schools have different requirements and restrictions. The credits do not always transfer fully. So it's a good idea to check in advance, or you may lose a lot of your credits, and you may have to make them up at the school that you transfer to. For example, I went to the University of Washington, which is an out-of-state school for me. But before I went to the University of Washington, I made sure that the courses that I took would transfer over without any problem and still fulfill the requirements that I needed towards my graduating and obtaining my degree. Okay, this is something that you must be careful about. And if you're not sure about how to do it or what's the best thing to do, you could probably consult a college counselor. Okay, they have college counselors in all colleges and universities, and they can tell you how to go about it. They will look through the catalog and the manuals, and they will talk to you and try to give you the best options that are available to you. Make use of them. They are very helpful people, and they're extremely well informed, and they'll save you a great deal of time. That's if you want to transfer. There's a lot more involved if you want to transfer, but I'm not really going to go into that too much because after talking to a college counselor, I'm sure that he or she would be able to help you on that a great deal more. Okay, I talked about degrees. I mentioned degrees. What do I mean by a degree? Okay, here I've been talking about going to school and registering and everything. I'm really talking about registering as an undergraduate because I've talked about freshmen, sophomores, juniors, and seniors. As an undergraduate, you're usually working towards a degree. Well, there are different types of degrees. There's a BA, Bachelor of Arts. There's a BFA, which is Bachelor of Fine Arts. There's a BBA, which is a Bachelor of Business Administration, and a BS, which is a Bachelor of Science. Now, how do you know which degree you're going to be working towards? Well, that would depend on what your major is. Assuming that you have picked a major. If you've chosen a major, for example, if you've chosen to study computer science, then chances are my degree would be a BS, a Bachelor of Science, because the major that I've chosen is computer science, which is a very popular major, not only in the United States, but in Taiwan right now, because Taiwan is moving towards becoming more high-tech. Okay, so these are different degrees that you would be working towards. Now, depending on what your undergraduate degree is going to be in, it would also determine the types of courses that you take. Someone who is working towards a BS is not going to take the same type of courses as someone who is taking a BFA, a Bachelor of Fine Arts degree. All right. They would be working, someone in a Bachelor of Fine Arts degree would be working more so in the art area, discovering different art forms, taking different art classes, very much so into maybe the visual arts or music or something like that. Whereas Bachelor of Science, you would have the basics, more mathematics, more science, more technology. So even though they all fall under the category of liberal arts, there is a difference. However, there are courses that everyone is required to take. As I mentioned, everyone is required to take courses like history, English, math, a basic science course. After these requirements have been fulfilled, then it's really pretty much a diversion of courses that you can take. And everybody pretty much goes their own way. And many times it really is everyone going their own way because people end up on different parts of the campus, even in a university, because the departments are in different areas. Now, I've mentioned a bit about registration, transferring, and degrees. I've talked a bit about the academic side of studying. But I think, like everyone else, in the sense that there's more to college and there's more to university than just studying. I realize that in Taiwan, there is a great stress placed upon education. And this comes primarily, I believe, from the Confucian beliefs of education being the means of obtaining a better life, and to help mold you into a better person. And interestingly enough, this is also true in the West. It's no different, really, and we do also place a great stress upon education. But education not just in the sense of studying the books, reading day after day, and memorizing and thinking of creative things to do. An education is more comprehensive than just that, There's also the social education. Well, when I say social education, do I mean that you go out into society and do things? Well, yes and no, in the sense that school is also a place in which it prepares you for society. It's supposed to prepare you not just for the work that will be involved, but also how to deal with people, how to be with other people, how to interact with them. And also another area that is available in school, universities, is the athletic side of life, which also ties into the social life. Why do I say that? Well, in the U.S., for example, football is a very big sport, all right? And football players are often given a great deal of attention, and it's also a social event for people to go to a football game. It's not just an athletic event, but also a social event in that it gives them an opportunity to go out with people of the opposite sex. It also gives them an opportunity to get together and party, and it gives them a feeling of camaraderie, that they're all in it together, that they're working towards the same goal. They want to win the game. They want to win it for the school. They want the school pride to beam. So it's a social and athletic event at the same time. Football games, basketball games, and usually other social events occur in the school. They may have dances, or they might have community activities. Dances are usually arranged by the different organizations on campus. For example, a club. A particular club may be the club for people who are interested in business, plan to go into the business community later on. Students might organize a dance, and they'll get together, and people who are not in business will also come, because it might offer an opportunity to get to know others and to have a good time and just to relax a bit from the hectic academic schedule that everyone must maintain. So, social events, dances, community activities, athletic events, also other social activities that you'll have, are such as meeting people that will become your lifelong friends. Oftentimes, they say that people that you meet in college will not all necessarily be with you later on in life, and it's really in college or university that you meet the people that you will associate with. And this is especially true in Taiwan, I believe, because if you went to the same university or college later on in life, people are constantly identifying with that, and somehow brings them together. It's very true of Americans also, I think, in that sense, that you identify with that. So oftentimes, because you're growing at that stage still, and your basic personality has already been developed, you'll meet people that will make a lasting impression in your life, if not become a permanent part of your life. And so, university is also a place in which you learn to grow socially, as well as in terms of knowledge. Socially speaking, also, this is a time when people are usually working part-time.